Do you have some free time? You can help advance medicine by participating in a clinical research study. PRA Health Sciences is seeking healthy, non-smoking men between 18 and 45 years old for an investigational study. Volunteers must be available for one stay of 6 nights plus a follow-up visit. Qualified participants may receive compensation up to $2,000. Call PRA today at 801-269-8200. That's 801-269-8200.
Shh, are you listening? This is Slug Sound Waves. My name is Jordan Strang. I sing and play guitar in the Salt Lake City band No Sun. Matt McCullough plays drums, Tyler Phillips plays bass, and Ben Finley also sings and plays guitar in the band. So originally, I was based in St. George. I moved to Salt Lake about 3 years ago, and while in St. George, I was playing in a band called Fever Dreams. The plan had always kind of been to eventually relocate the band to a bigger city, since the three of us didn't really want to stay in a small town forever. So naturally, Salt Lake just seemed like a good option. It had kind of always been a home away from home for us. We had been playing up here for a while, got really well acquainted with some of the local bands that we were playing shows with, and eventually made some really close friendships. When I first moved up here, I was initially moving up here with my girlfriend at the time, and we split shortly after, which was kind of jarring in the sense, because it was like, oh yeah, I just like moved into this apartment that I now have to take care of with one less person. So it's kind of just like me doing my thing, which kind of brought up a lot of emotions, I guess, especially since moving to Salt Lake was my first real winter. So it was like, oh, I'm all alone and there's lots of snow and it's very cold and I've never been in this situation before and I don't really know how to handle it as well as other people. Starting No Sun basically came out of necessity. You know, as I previously said, there were all these like emotions that I was going through without a way to really express them, you know, with my band members still being in St. George at the time. And it kind of led me to pursuing outlets that I was less comfortable with, hence playing guitar and singing. It's kind of something that I had done by myself, but never really advertised or did openly all that much. And so it was kind of just a fresh start entirely, in that it was like something I was completely uncomfortable with performing in a live setting. So my roommates played in a band called Speak Out from Salt Lake. We had met just through playing shows together as Fever Dreams. And initially I reached out to some of the members to live with me. And as we were talking, just, you know, talking about music, they had always expressed wanting to have kind of like a side project thing that was a lot softer than their hardcore band Speak Out, which kind of tied into what I was wanting to do with No Sun. So when the time came that I thought, you know, maybe this should be like a thing, instead of just like recording songs or whatever on my phone, maybe this should be like a thing that we're playing as a full band, I approached them and it just kind of seemed to make sense. So before our official debut EP, Warm, we had been a band for about a year and a half. There were a lot of inconsistencies with the band as far as pretty regular lineup changes, which kind of led to stylistic changes. We recorded an EP before Warm that never really saw the light of day, because at the point that it was done and good to go, we were sort of already a new band at that time and didn't really feel as comfortable releasing material that didn't really represent us anymore. So after Matt, our current drummer, joined the band, things started getting a bit more solid. And then especially when Ben joined, it all really kind of like honed itself in and started to make more sense. The development of our current sound would basically have never happened were it not for those two. So when we did release Warm, it was all still kind of new and fresh, because I think Ben had only been in the band for a couple months at the time. And so we basically were like, yeah, this is kind of the style we had in mind. These are the songs that we have already, like, help us make them that much better. And he totally did. You know, we are a shoegaze band, and Ben had always been really into shoegaze, and that's initially what made me want to reach out to him. And so with his style kind of like converging with ours, it just was kind of like the perfect union, I guess, in my opinion. So when we were recording the record, it was kind of like, oh, cool, like we finally get to be proud of something that we get to put out. And that we get a release and show around and kind of move forward from this kind of this weird like stagnant state where we were playing local shows but didn't really have any songs out. So when we did record Warm, the three songs, Erase, Ache, and Warm, two of which are going to be on our debut record, kind of had stylistically like a early 90s shoegaze sound. I get comparisons to Slow Dive a lot when people talk to me about the first EP, but then I also hear that a lot of people say that it sounds similar to newer shoegaze bands, kind of like Were or Nothing. And I think it's kind of, I don't know, personally, I think it's kind of somewhere in the middle, I guess. So coming from like the DIY hardcore background, whenever it came to finding somebody that might be interested in putting it out, we were always just like, oh, all right, let's get their email and send it to them or make a press kit and send it to them and hopefully we hear from them. And, you know, usually you don't, but on the off chance that someone's interested, you kind of begin the conversation of whether or not you two want to work together and what you both have in mind. So when we were finished recording Warm, we were kind of just, I mean, it was really our first record, like no one had really ever heard of us. And so I just kind of sent it everywhere. And one of the labels that did get back to us was Don't Look Down Records, which actually ended up putting out the record. And they did an amazing job. It was really cool working with them. With the submissions, we also received some other replies after we had already committed to Don't Look Down. And one of those was Mayfly. And Mayfly was kind of like a record label that we really looked up to. They put out a lot of hardcore records that we really enjoyed. Like they put out a Code Orange Kids record that I was a really big fan of. And I kind of noticed that throughout the past year or two, they started to kind of do a stylistic shift in direction and started to sign more bands that were similar to what we were trying to do. Which was really cool because then it kind of opened the possible doorway of like, oh, maybe this is someone we can work with. So we did send it to him and he got back to us and he was like, hey, I really like this, but my calendar is already full for this year. Like, what are you guys' plans for next year? And so we were like, okay, well, we're planning on, you know, doing some touring and maybe recording a new EP. And he basically was like, yeah, I don't really like coming out with EPs. Why don't you just do a full length? And we had never really thought about doing a full length at that point yet. And we were just kind of like, oh, well, this seems like a really awesome opportunity. Maybe we can just like swing it and write enough material to actually come out with the full length. So basically, we just really, really narrowed down on trying to write a record and locked ourselves in a practice space for the better part of 2 months and then wrote what is now, if only, our debut record. So when it finally came time for us to record our new record, it was around the holiday season. We were all personally pretty busy. So there was a sense of haste and sort of urgency. But with us not being able to take any time off of work, we sometimes were able to work together in the studio. You know, me and Matt and Ben and Tyler were all able to go in at sometimes, and then other times it was just me or me and someone else. So when it actually came time to record it, it was kind of nerve-wracking in a sense because I would go in by myself, record a song or two of my vocal tracks, and then show it to the guys and be like, I hope that you don't think it sucks. Like, I hope it's good enough. Otherwise, we have to start over. Whereas when we're all together, someone will do something or try something new, and you can either just at face value be like, oh, yeah, that's really cool. Let's keep that. Or, hey, maybe we should do something different. And I think that kind of worried me. So there was an ultimate aha moment when writing our last song on the record, which is called Ichigo Ichi. The record was done, finally, and for the first time we were able to just be like, all right, let's play it from front to back and see how it sounds, see if there's anything, any like last minute tweaks. I think this was like 2 weeks before we went into the studio, and you know, so again, there was that sense of urgency, but we just sat down and played the whole thing from front to back. And that song in specifically has like a really big kind of dramatic finish. And so it was like when we all like were able to play that part and finish it, we kind of just sat there for a second and we're like, wow, all right, like this is it. This is done. This is good to go. There was just this immense sense of, at least for me personally, of fulfillment and completion. Yet I was already excited to, you know, just track it and be done and move on and have this whole writing process happen again. I've always been a musician. I've been playing drums since I was 5, and my dad was a musician, and it was always an idea that was very welcomed in my house that, you know, if I wanted to pursue that, I should. And I guess I kind of always had that mindset, but especially with this band, like when we were able to finish the record, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, this is totally what I need to be doing. And when we did finish that last song, and I did kind of have that realization, and we all kind of had that realization, when it kind of came time to write the lyrics for it, a saying that I'd heard kind of came into my head, which was Ichigo Ichi, which is a Japanese phrase, which basically says, treasure every encounter, for it will never reoccur. And that kind of just resonated with me, like, yeah, like I need to treasure this and give it the time that it deserves, and just basically work our asses off with the band as much as we can. When it came time to write the lyrics, they were actually written separately from the recording process and even from the songwriting process. I would just sit at home or at our practice space by myself and just play the songs separately dozens and dozens of times. And I tried to just capture and emulate what I felt the songs felt like to me. So I would just play them over and over and over and really kind of dwell on, like, what emotions does this song evoke for me? And I didn't really go into the record with set, like, oh yeah, I want to have a song about this, I want to have a song about that, or I already have these lyrics that are written. I just kind of went blank slate on all of our newer songs and really just tried to, like I said, just make the lyrics as fitting to the song as I thought they could be. Which led to a lot of sleep deprivation, and in a way I think that that actually really helped the writing process. After we agreed to do the record, the tentative release date was fall of this year. So fall came around, and we got word from Bob at Mayfly Records, who runs the label, that he kind of had a personal emergency that required his full attention, and so he had to kill the label for an indefinite amount of time. Our records were already at the plant, so we were kind of in this weird in-between stage that I think kind of worked in our favor, because it was basically like, hey, our records are already physically done for the most part. We just need someone to work with us and help us put it out. And, you know, trying to find someone that we thought could really do the record justice in such a short amount of time was kind of scary. And so we kind of all went into full panic mode, and we're like, all right, let's talk to all of our friends that are in other bands that have labels putting out their stuff, and just like talk to them about how their experience is with them, and hopefully we can figure something out. And actually, the first person that I ended up talking to was Christina Svandiari of Miserable and King Woman. We had just recently played a show with Miserable at the time. We kind of just kept in touch after that. So I basically just explained the situation to her and was like, hey, I have, like, no idea what to do. Has this ever happened to you? Do you have any insight or guidance that you can maybe help us out with? And she basically was like, let me look into it. And then a couple hours later, she was like, hey, Julio at the Native Sound is really interested in your guys' record. I'm going to give him your number if that's cool with you. And I was like, oh, all right, cool. And then the next day, we got on the phone and had an agreement. And it really was like the easiest thing that's ever happened to this band in a weird sense, which I guess also kind of made it feel right. Working with the Native Sound has been absolutely incredible. Julio does incredibly professional work with each of his artists, yet he still caters to our individual needs or concerns when he can. The way that the music industry is going right now, there's not really any point of being on a record label unless you feel like they can do things for you that you can't do for yourself without compromising your artistic integrity or whatever you want to call it. And I think that he does just that, and that he's really, really helped us move forward and helped give us the confidence to make bigger steps with the band. So with No Sun touring basically throughout this year and a bit in the last year, it kind of seemed natural. You know, we need to go to new places, we need to do longer tours, we need to really push ourselves out of our comfort zone and just basically be in as many places as we can while we can. And after touring the West Coast, I think it was 3 times, we kind of just realized, like, yeah, like, if we're going to put out our first record and we, like, really want it to be important, we can't just expect a label to push it. We have to push ourselves. And so we have started working on our full US tour that will be going on in the spring, which is going to be really exciting. Most of us haven't really been to very many of the places that we're playing before ever. So that'll be really cool, you know, vacation aspect. But also it's going to be a lot of hard work. And with this tour, I think it just seems like the next step for us to take. So this next track is the second single we released off of this record, and it's called It's Happening Again. Releasing our debut record, If Only, on January 20th. We'll be doing a record release show at Diabolical, where we'll be playing the record in its entirety with our friends in Westing and Civil Lust. It's going to be available at the show, and I'm sure it'll be available locally at Diabolical Records after that. But as far as online, you'll be able to find it on the Native Sounds website as well as Apple Music.
Four geeky girls walk into a studio.
Hello, sweetie.
Your weekly dose of geek news.
Hello, sweetie podcast.